Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Denying a penal substitutionary atonement. Say what? Denying penal substitutionary atonement is like saying the president's house isn't white. This is Wretched Radio. Not done yet. Denying penal substitutionary atonement is like saying the sky is underground or the sun sets in the north. In other words, what I'm trying to say is these recent assaults on really the foundation of your Christian faith are utterly ridiculous. And we will demonstrate that by using the force of the Bible. If and you're not familiar with PSA, aka penal substitutionary atonement, you need to enjoy grasping this doctrine. Why? Because your eternity hinges on it. That's kind of big right there. And your security of being saved will be enhanced. If this particular doctrine of PSA is not thoroughly biblical, like some are suggesting it's not, then your sins aren't forgiven. And you, my friend, are on an AC/DC highway, and you don't want to be on that road. I don't want to be on that road. And the Bible does not put us on that road because of penal substitutionary atonement. In brief, PSA, it's the doctrine, it's an historic doctrine. Athanasius, Irenaeus, they all affirmed PSA. It teaches that Jesus received the penal. Penal is punishment. And by the way, just as an aside, we don't call correctional institutions penal facilities anymore because we've changed the application of justice from punishment to rehabilitation. We used to understand a crime purchases a punishment. So they were called penal systems. No more. We don't want to do something like punish people, which is maybe one of the reasons why so many people are jumping on this anti-PSA bandwagon. So penal punishment. Our substitute is Jesus. So penal substitutionary atonement. So for our punishment, there was a substitution so that we could be atoned. In other words, brought into a right relationship with God. Penal punishment, substitution, another, so that we could be reconciled to God. Now, it is shocking, and you're going to see this, that there are those who say that that's not what happened on the cross. Are you familiar with a fellow named John Mark Comer? He's the most recent assailer of this glorious doctrine. He's big into trying to help people connect their Christian faith with the totality of their life. I get that desire because I see it as a great need. In fact, providentially, writing a book on that subject right now. It'll be out next week. So I get it. How he goes about doing that, I believe, is very problematic. But it's his theology that is increasingly being revealed as troublesome. He endorsed a book by a fellow named Andrew Rillera. The book is called Lamb of the Free, Recovering the Varied Sacrificial Understanding of Jesus's Death. Okay. This automatically just tells you, hold on. Anytime that there's a book called Rediscovering the Teachings of Jesus, look out. I think that's one of John Mark Comer's books, by the way. As if the church has lost these doctrines for centuries and he's rediscovered them, or maybe more likely making stuff up. This is what he tweeted about the book. Now, I understand, I'm not sure, but I think he may have backpedaled on this, but still, how do you tweet this? Quote, "This book seems to be the final biblical exegetical knockout blow to PSA. Boing. Are you familiar with Stephen Chalk or Chalky? It's got an E at the end, but he's British, he's Baptist, he's an author, prolific author, hugely popular. He's one who claims that the doctrine of penal substitution is child abuse. Quote, a vengeful father punishing his son for an offense he's not even committed. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. But Chalk critiques what he calls the myth of redemptive violence. Whew. Quote, if the cross is a personal act of violence perpetuated by God, shouldn't it be perpetrated by God towards humankind, but born by his son, then it makes a mockery of Jesus' own teaching to love your enemies and to refuse to repay evil with evil. What sort I'm looking for? Wrong! The cross is loving your enemies. That's exactly what it is. The greatest demonstration ever of loving your enemies by dying for them while they're yet sinning. So for him to say it violates Jesus' teaching to love your enemies is to just completely ignore what it is that the Bible says about what Jesus accomplished. He took the punishment as our substitute that we might be atoned. Furthermore, God repaying evil with evil, that's not at all what happened on the cross. He wasn't repaying Jesus or anybody with evil. He was pouring out his wrath, his righteous indignation onto his beloved son for the sake of sinners. Greg Boyd, he's another one. Quote, how are we to understand one member of the Trinity being wrathful towards another member? Pick me, Greg. Penal substitutionary atonement. Quote, if the Father needs someone to pay the price for sin, does the Father really forgive anyone? Well, here's the problem with a Father just forgiving without justice being satisfied. It makes the Father unjust. That's one of the problems with Islam. They will talk about Allah on a good day, possibly being willing to forgive, but there's no satisfaction for the sin, for the crime committed against Allah. And so if Allah just wipes the slate clean, that is like a judge setting a guilty criminal free without any sort of recompense. And that's simply not just. And so to Greg Boyd and Steve Chalk and to John Mark Comer, I just don't know how you miss this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to use the analogy of Scripture. And one of the principles, one of the rules is that Scripture interprets Scripture. So do we have some verses that support these other atonement theories? And the answer is yes, but don't worry, there's an explanation for that. You've got a couple of those verses. But here's what you've got regarding PSA. You've got a dumpster full of verses, and it simply outweighs. So you interpret the lesser verses in light of the more verses. So let's dive into that. And as we do, I'm gonna kind of pound you with a bunch of Bible verses. I want to take that back. It's not a pounding to hear a bunch of Bible verses. It's a joy to get to hear them. It's a joy for me to get to recite them. When we do this, when we jump into this, you will hear their versions of atonement theory and you're going to go, not a chance. What is PSA, penal substitutionary atonement? It is related to a term we don't use very much anymore called vicarious atonement, but it's a more precise term. Vicarious means in the place of another. Vicarious atonement explains that God reconciles us by another, but it doesn't explain how. PSA is how God reconciles us to himself. Penal, judgment, penalty, punishment for sin. Where does that come from? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You've committed a sin, you've earned a wage, death. Romans 2:5, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. To say that PSA is not biblical is to simply reject that clear verse. Matthew, he has Jesus describing eternity, weeping and gnashing of teeth, poured out by God himself. to deny that punishment is earned for sin is to deny those verses. Substitution, Christ taking our place, tons of these, starts in the Old Testament. He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid on him. By his wounds we are healed. Really? You're denying that? Mark 10, Jesus said he gave his life as a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 3, for Christ suffered for sins once for all time, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You could add to that, you can look these up. Galatians 3, 13, John 10, 11, he lays down his life for the sheep. And then you've got atonement. All of the verses that talk about the necessity of bringing us into a restored relationship with God. B.B. Warfield, the saving work of Christ is not merely to remove the enmity between God and man, but to deal with sin as guilt, bringing satisfaction to divine justice and making it possible for God to be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Does the Bible teach that? Yeah. Next on Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in count sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To deny penal substitutionary atonement is like saying the sky is banana. Yeah, this is Wretched Radio. There's an assault on your faith. There's an assault on the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. There is an attack on the foundational understanding that Jesus Christ died for sinners. You know, the way the Bible said, his name meaning Savior, and all of the verses that support God was pouring out his wrath on his son on behalf of sinners that we might be reconciled. There are modern day theologians that are saying, no, that's God being a cosmic meanie. So we got to make God look nice. Does the Bible support these alternative views? This is going to surprise you. The answer is yes. And you say, well, wait a second, what's the point of this diatribe? If the Bible supports those alternative views to penal substitutionary atonement, then what are you so exercised about? Because those understandings of Jesus' work on the cross are insufficient, as you will see in just a moment. But foist. The Old Testament talks about our need for atonement. How's about Exodus 12, the Passover lamb? How's about Leviticus 1-7, the sacrificial system, you know, for the covering of sin? The animal acts as a substitute for the sinner. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. So we got all of our verses on punishment. We've got all of our verses on a substitute. Here's all of the atonement verses. For it is by reason of the life that makes atonement. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Leviticus 16, he got the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement. The Old Testament was already taught. The whole sacrificial system is about atonement. Fast forward, New Testament, Matthew 20. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How many verses do we need so that we can reject these modern day assaults on PSA? 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin that we might be the righteousness of God. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. 1 Peter 2, he bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin. By his wounds, we are healed. Jesus died for sins once for all time, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hebrews 9. He entered the holy place once for all by his own blood, obtaining eternal redemption. He died once to bear the sins of many. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sins of the world. Revelation 5:9, you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. 1 Corinthians 15:3, I handed down to you a first importance. Christ died for our sins. Romans 5:6 makes it clear why you were helpless at the right time. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 9, much more, having now been justified by his blood, will be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, will be saved by his life. How much more clear could the Bible be that penal substitutionary atonement is a glorious doctrine? It's not even to mention the propitiation verses. PSA and propitiation, atonement slightly different. Propitiation emphasizes the justice of God and the turning away of his wrath. Atonement emphasizes the payment to accomplish that. Listen to these, Romans 3, God presented Jesus as a propitiation through faith in his blood. 1 John 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hebrews 2:17, in all things he had to be made like his brothers so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of his people. To deny PSA is like claiming The Passover lamb had nothing to do with blood. The scapegoat didn't carry sins. Isaiah 53 isn't about suffering. The altar never needed a sacrifice. The high priest entered the Holy of Holies just for fun. The cross was just an accident. Jesus' cry, "It is finished," means nothing was accomplished. And to deny PSA means justice requires no satisfaction, that God isn't angry about sin. It's to claim Good Friday was just another Friday. That is ridiculous. Now that you've heard all of these verses that support PSA, let's understand the other options that people are presenting. And what you're going to hear from most of them, with the exception of one, is they aren't entirely wrong. They're just not sufficient. They identify an effect. This is really, really crucial. There's a difference between cause and effect. You don't say, "Friel, PSA has a PSA is the cause, and it has effects. PSA is the mechanism. The effects are forgiveness and purpose and victory, return to a right relationship with God. Now we see a love demonstration." Okay, those are the fruits, but the mechanism is penal substitutionary atonement. What these other models do, they forget about the mechanism, the cause, and they elevate the fruits in its place. So they're not entirely wrong, but they're confusing the effects with the cause. And if you elevate the effects to the level of cause, then you eliminate or lessen the cause. So listen now for two faults. I'll share with you what these views are. Listen for two things. One, the cause versus effect confusion. And listen for the key components that are missing. Because PSA involves God's righteousness, his justice, his wrath, the sinfulness of sin, eternal conscious torment in hell, God's wrath being assuaged, forgiveness, justification. That's what PSA buys. All of those things in these alternative views, they aren't even substituting PSA with those things. They're ignoring them. Starting with number one, Christus Victor. Now, this emphasizes Christ's victory over the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Did that happen? Yes. Is that an effect or is that a cause? It's an effect. So we affirm that Jesus Christ had a victory, but it's not sufficient. It's describing the effect of the atonement, but not the penal transaction required to satisfy God's wrath. In other words, PSA is more than a victory. Number two, the moral influence theory, or something called the martyr example theory, they're kind of somewhat different, but kind of related just the same. That Jesus Christ's death was a demonstration of God's love, intended to inspire moral transformation. Okay, hold on a second. Here's the problem. Imagine a guy goes running off of a pier into the frigid ocean waters yelling, "I love you," and he drowns. You'd go, "Well, that was kind of nuts. What was that all about? Cuckoo." Now, if the guy jumped into the water to rescue somebody who was drowning, yelling, "I love you," you'd go, "Oh, now it makes sense." Without a purpose for the death on a cross, Jesus wasn't showing love. He would have been showing that he was crazy. Furthermore, for it to just inspire morality, let's imagine the guy goes running off the pier, "Be moral," falls into the water and drowns. You go, "Why should I be moral? What was the point of that?" Or if it's just an example, he goes running down the pier, "Follow my example." Are you kidding me? You want me to jump into the water? You see, without satisfying the wrath of God to save sinners, jumping into the water, dying on a cross, makes no sense. There's the recapitulation theory that Jesus' life and death kind of summed up history, undoing the disobedience of Adam, restoring humanity to its intended purpose. Did Jesus' death accomplish that? Yes. But without PSA, our penalty remains unpaid. You've got the healing model that he died so that we could be healed. Will we be healed? Ultimately, yes, but not now. You've got the ransom theory. This one's a stinker. That Christ's death was a ransom paid to Satan. Hello, Satan was not paid anything. He was defeated and crushed. But there's one more reason that the passion of Jesus was about more than a victory or a moral lesson of an inspiring call to follow him. When you consider what Jesus endured, you have to ask, is that all it accomplished, what you guys are saying? Because wow, what he endured with the beating and the flogging and the stripping and the spitting and the mockery, the crucifixion, you've got to come to the conclusion, something big was going on there. Something amazing was happening there. And you are correct. Something amazing was happening there. The greatest act of cosmic love ever. If you remove penal substitutionary atonement, that love becomes puny. But when you remember that Jesus Christ died for sinners, you should shout for joy and be glad. And then the next time you hear a John Mark Comer, a Stephen Chalk, or a Greg Boyd offer an alternative theory, you can give them a massive thumbs down and then probably want to witness to them. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.